greet the y'all in the name of Christ this morning, and want to welcome everyone to our service. Special welcome to our visitors. I know it's been said before, but we do want you to feel welcome here. And for you visitors, if you can bear with us, this message this morning is more for us as a local church than you can listen in. And if there's something shared that you can be helped or blessed, Lord bless you for that. Or may the word of God have its place in your life. But this past week, or was it a week or so ago, one of the brethren said that he would like to hear a message on, and I don't remember exactly the words he used, but had to do with principles and applications in dress. And I thought I'd try to at least address a little bit of that this morning, and especially with the situation that we're facing now, going through some changes, and how can we approach this? How can we do this that God is glorified? Title this morning, I thought of great price in the sight of God, taken from 1 Peter 3. If you care to, turn to 1 Peter 2, and we'll start reading in verse 9. And we're going to be looking at some characteristics of the children of God, and maybe some principles of why God is asking us to be different from the world around us. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 18. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil of you against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for the cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. I think we'll stop reading there. Verse 9 says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Chosen generation. Out of all humanity, the millions and the billions of people, God has chosen us to be his children. Does that thrill your heart? Does it give you a sense of belonging to God that we want to please him? We have been chosen by God Almighty because he loved us, and not because we loved him. He also died for us, redeeming us to himself as children of a king. We are a chosen generation. John 15:16 says Jesus' words. He said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and forth and bear fruit." And that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. So this morning, if we know the love of God, if we have experienced God's redeeming love in our hearts, we are a chosen people. We are also called a royal priesthood. Of the royal family of God. Again, we are a nobody placed into the royal family of God. And God has chosen me, you, again, to be in this part, in this family. Now, he has not done that so that we can just enjoy the blessing of being part of the family of God, but he has called us to go forth and represent him to the people around us. Represent him, God, to the people of this world. And again, what a privilege and a responsibility. May this thought thrill our souls and make us desirous to do our best. We are also called a holy nation, a race of people that have been made the people of God, which weren't a people of God in times past. We read that in Ephesians 2. But we were children of the devil, and God has rescued us and placed us into the family of God because he loved us. We are a peculiar people, and if we don't understand that word, we don't like that word. We don't like to be called peculiar. We don't like to be called different. We don't like to be called, he is a strange man. But that's really not what peculiar means. Peculiar means a people purchased. A people purchased unto God through Jesus Christ, through the death of the cross. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, "What, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now, we are all this because of God choosing us so that we should go forth and show the praises of God to those around us, to publish abroad. That is our job this morning. That is your job, is to go out and tell people that Jesus lives. Thursday, I met a man that he was in his house, and he was on oxygen, and he was telling me that he would like to do some things on his house before he dies so that his wife doesn't have to do or take care of so many things. And then I asked him, "Are you ready to die? Do you know the Lord?" "Oh, I've got so many purple hearts in war. I've got so many," I don't know what all he said. And I said, "Well, it's not what we have done, it's what the Lord has done." And I don't know. I feel like I failed him, and yet he said, well, he knows all this stuff. And then I said, well, Jesus died for you. He died for me to save our souls from sin and destruction. I don't remember all the words I used, but then he said, or some greedy politicians just killed him. And I said, well, what do you mean? Because I couldn't put this together. And basically what he was saying is Jesus didn't really die for us. Somebody just killed him because they didn't like him. That's where I think I failed him, because it took me by surprise, and I was just stumped. I didn't know what to say. But can we tell these people that Christ is real, that he does real things in our lives? Is our testimony that Christ is alive and well, that he did? So now going on into chapter 3, verse 1, it says, likewise, well, read the first 7 verses here. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old times, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The word likewise means in this manner, or because of this way, or in this way, giving us direction. And I say us because of verse 7, it also mentions the same word. It says, likewise, ye husbands, giving us as his children direction how to live, to look, to dress, for his glory and honor. And I say this morning that the burden of nonconformity should not rest on our sisters alone. As husbands and fathers, we should be examples of what we should be example of nonconformity and in the forefront of the battle to keep the way of God. So this message is not directed necessarily to the sisters, but to all of us. We all need to be subject unto the Lord. We all need meekness and verse 4, meekness and quietness in our life. Meekness and quietness, verse 4, is we are to be concerned about our own inner man. It talks about, let it be the hidden man of the heart. To beautify the hidden man of the heart, not something outward that is corruptible or that after a while it becomes old. I'm not as young as I used to be, and none of you here are as young as you used to be at one time. But if the Lord tarries, all of us will get older until we die. And I have seen older people, gray-haired, white-haired, all wrinkly and stoop-shouldered that were absolutely beautiful in their life because of that meek and quiet spirit. I've also seen some younger ones that were beautiful on the outside, and their spirit was not very beautiful. So the Lord is asking us this morning to have a meek and quiet spirit within our heart, to dress the inner man rather than the outer man, the hidden man of the heart. And again, I would like to stress our own life, because it's so easy to look at others and see how they can improve, how they should do their things, how they should dress, how they should approach life. And we completely forget that, you know, we need to apply those truths to our own lives. We are often blind to the needs of our own heart. The Bible says to verse 3, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of hair, wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. It says, do not adorn the outer body through fixing up the hair, wearing jewelry, clothing that draws attention to ourselves. When people see us as children of God, does it remind them of God? When they see us, do they think, there's a man that's different? They may not realize why they think that, or what makes us different. But all in all, God should get the glory for our life, not we ourselves. You know, man has a unique problem in that while he wants to be different, while he wants to be noticed, he also wants to fit in. And that sometimes those two aspects conflict with each other. We want to be different, we want to be noticed, but we also want to fit in. And often by our own insistence of being different, we put a barrier between us and our friends, our neighbors, our the church people, those closely associated with us. So may we try to fit in and not be so different. I'm talking within the church. Verse 4, again, says, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. It is very costly to God. It was extremely expensive, very precious. You know, and again, I would like to encourage us that when something is important to God, we better sit up and take notice, because it better be important to us. You know, it cost Jesus much pain and much suffering, much ridicule. It cost his very life to redeem us to himself. Is it any wonder that he is concerned how we look and dress and act? We represent the Godhead to the lost and dying around us. And may we give them portray to them the right picture. Okay, 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10. Give us a little bit more. Verse 9 says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, I think I said that word right, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women of professing godliness with good works. Modesty. Adorning has the thought of trimming off the unnecessary things, like they used to do with a lamp. I remember as I was a smaller child, we went up to my grandparents, and they didn't have electric power, so they used a lot of lamps. And as they turned up the lamp, if you turned it too high, it would start to smoke. It would start to Then they had to periodically go in with the scissors and trim off that wick. And that's what this adorning has the thought of doing, is trimming off the unnecessary, leaving off the unnecessary, to make it burn brighter and clearer or better, and putting on the things that are modest. Modesty means to be orderly and neat or neat, I can say this word right, decorous, and that means in keeping with good taste and propriety, polite and restrained. That is a Google definition. That's what modesty means, is to be orderly and neat, and to be in keeping with good taste and propriety, polite and restrained. Modesty does not just include the way we make our clothes, but it includes the attention grabbing aspect of it. Shamefacedness. We're to have shamefacedness. Bashful. Be bashful with downcast eyes. Especially towards the opposite gender, and have towards God a feeling of awe and reverence. So where do we find ourselves there? Do we have a bashfulness against towards the opposite gender, or towards God do we have a feeling of awe and reverence? Simplicity has the thought of just being without extras, without self-seeking. Sobriety, soundness of mind, that is, literally means having the right sanity, having sanity, or could mean figuratively self-control. To think with a good mind, to make decisions as a mature Christian, crucifying self on the cross of Jesus Christ and truly following Jesus as he would have us to walk. Thinking with sobriety, thinking with a clear mind, thinking with a right mind. You know, there are times that we may not, cannot, do not, will not wear clothing or do things because of the control that Christ has in our life. You know, we need to think and think right. Make right decisions. Make biblical decisions. How many of you remember the saying, ideas have consequences? Okay, ideas do have consequences. That was Charles Hamilton. Ideas have consequences. So let's think and think right. You know, when we are tempted in a certain area, are we able to think through this situation and come to a scriptural conclusion? Are we able to go into the scriptures and find principles and applications there that would guide us through life? What would Jesus do in our situation? What would he think of this set of clothing? Would he wear something of this color or design? What would Jesus do? Will it remind the people of God? These are just some questions I thought of. Another one is, will it promote peace and unity within the brotherhood? Okay, number 7 is being nonconformed to the world. This is another principle. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 tells us to be not... Let me turn to that. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. To know the will of God, to know the mind of God, we have to be transformed. We have to go through this metamorphosis of laying down the old man, the old life, and rising up in newness of life through Jesus Christ. To not be conformed to, you know, a lot of, again, man has this thought that he is not wanting to be conformed to anything, but he, in his pursuit of, I need to think this thing through, in his pursuit of being different, he's conforming to the demands of the flesh. So he is, we are going to be conformed to something. And the Bible tells us not to be conformed to the world. And 2 Corinthians 6 gives us another principle. It says to be separated unto God. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of God, of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, because of this, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. If we want to have the Lord as our Father, then we have to come out from among them. God did not purchase his people so they can live unto themselves. You know, we were doing that before God ever touched our life. We were living to ourselves. He purchased to himself a people that will glorify and honor and live for him. And again, God will not share his glory or his domain with Satan. They cannot cohabitate a person's life. Romans 14. Through 23. Just going to read those. In closing, I'd like to look at this account. Romans 14, verse 12. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for which Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Hast thou faith? have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The sobering thought this morning is we are, all of us, are going to give an account of our life to an almighty God someday. And this is for the way we lived our life, how we ordered our life, for the liberties that we have taken or the things that we have done in life that have caused our brothers to stumble. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We are also going to give an account to Almighty God if we have judgmental attitudes towards our brethren. In whatever state or sphere or side, if you want to call it, we are on. If we have judgmental attitudes towards our brother, we are going to be called into account for that. We are called, every one of us, to walk charitable towards our brother, understanding and acknowledging that they also have the Spirit of God in their life. Remember, the Christian life is not about the things of this life, meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, Paul said, I would rather, I don't know if it's in this account, but somewhere he stated that he would rather not eat meat for the rest of his life. If it made his brother to stumble and fall. Might be earlier in the chapter, I'm not sure. But, talking about meat, at times we say, well, that's just eating meat. Well, no, it's not. It's talking. Our meat can be whatever liberty we want to take. It's not always just the eating. It's the doing and the being. And most often, not always, but most often, God gives us more instruction to the brother that is strong than the one that's weak. And let's remember that. The brother that's strong most often has more accountability towards God than the one that's weak. That's not saying that we want to stay weak. We want to grow. If we want to experience Ephesians 1:6, which is to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, then we need to live and give our life to our brother. We show our love by preferring them over our own way of thinking. And in all things, let's be God conscious and walk in the Spirit of God. You know, the Lord cannot lead someone that is full of himself. We need to be empty of self and have a heart after God, for God to be able to lead us. In closing, Romans 14, I'll read 17 through 19 again. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable unto God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify one another. Let's kneel for prayer.